Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you've joined us today. Joining me, Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys. How are
you doing?
Hello, hello.
Hello, Steve.
Hi.
Well, it's a great day. Yeah, go ahead and finish there.
Just saying hi to each other. We're saying hi to you.
It's always good. That is good. Well, we're glad you're with us here today and hope that something we say might change your life or the life of somebody else. We're going to go right to the phone calls today and get into the thick of things. I want to go to Marcy. She's calling on line 7, listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. Hi, Marcy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life today?
I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
No, I'm on my phone.
Talk among yourselves. All right. I'm just having a hard time getting in here.
I'm getting the trailer washed out. I drive a semi-truck there.
Nice.
The guy thought I was talking to him.
Okay.
I have been married 3 times, and my first husband left me for another woman and divorced me, and then I was married 2 other times, and both of those men tried killing me.
Oh, whoa.
So I got out of those marriages. For my safety and my kids' safety, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. So I'm going to sum up by saying that this isn't an example of where you just were a bit irritated and thought you ought to go have a divorce at your convenience. This is very serious stuff. So what's the question for us? How horrible. That's so sad. What's the question?
What it is I had a pastor a few months back tell me that because I went and talked to him, and I told him that because I read my Bible daily and pray to God and everything else, and there for a while I wasn't hearing anything from God whenever I said my prayers and stuff. And the pastor just came out and told me and said, well, because you were married 3 times, divorced 3 times, and God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore.
Whoa.
Now, a pastor, a real-life pastor that, like, preaches in church on Sunday told you that?
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I just, that is so against everything the Bible teaches. God is never finished with anyone. You know, you can reject God and he lets you go your own way, but there's redemption for the worst of the worst. There's hope for the serial killer on death row. I mean, this is tragic that someone would say that to you. I'm so sorry. I'm a pastor myself, a teaching pastor. I just can't imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine saying that, right?
Yeah. So what is the question for us?
I moved to Springfield, Missouri, and I have a really good pastor now.
Yeah.
And,
okay. And do you have a question for us then?
But one thing that the pastor I've got now told me, he goes, if God can... the dean, the woman at the well,
right,
then he can redeem me.
That is true. We're going to go to a break. 1-800-229-3000.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We were talking with Tara. I'll just see...
Or Marcy.
I'm sorry, Marcy. And then, now she is gone.
Did we lose her?
We did.
But well, she made a good point about the woman at the well, and if God could redeem her, of course.
That's what the new pastor said.
Yes, of course.
A lot of us have gotten the message that we're not lovable. And when we get that message from a spouse, and I'd even dig back into her history, from a parent, we tend to believe God doesn't love me either. Because if these people can't love me, God doesn't seem to be answering my prayers, I must not be lovable. So I don't think it's an uncommon belief that Marcy has, even though her situation is extreme. Mm-hmm. But we can get stuck with that belief. And when we bring that into healing relationship and we start sharing with people, as she bravely did on the air with us, but we've got to share it many a time, and we've got to grieve over that, because that pain runs deep and it's probably very old.
Well, and prior to that, Alice, we tend to look for validation of what we believe. So we, it's like, how can people be in these repeating patterns? Well, if we think we're not lovable, we tend to pick people who will also reflect that, and maybe gravitate even towards a pastor who's very harsh until we can switch into finally being in healing relationships and getting the truth.
A self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty extreme that you would have done something, multiple marriages or something like that, that you might question, is God actually finished with me? Mm-hmm. But the real question would be then, given who you are, what you have done or been involved with, are there beliefs you have about yourself that aren't so extreme that are causing you to do things that maybe aren't the best for you? Like, well, maybe God's not finished with me, but God only has a limited vision for my life, unlike other people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind you, very few things could be worse than killing Christians, but that didn't change God's call on Paul's life. That was part of his history. His future was to become what I believe the second most important human being, first human being, but next to Jesus, the most significant person to walk the face of the earth. Second thing is, you look at Peter, who said, I never even knew Jesus, after being, so close to him. It's pretty bad to say, I don't know him, never met him. That's pretty bad. You've never done anything like that. And he did not withdraw his calling on the life of either of those men. God has something special for everybody. And sometimes we're believing stupid things, false things that hold us back. Maybe not the extreme, but some very, very other kinds of beliefs. All right, let's go to Tara. Fredericksburg, Virginia listens on WAVA. Hi, Tara. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
My question is, I believe that my husband has borderline personality disorder. We've been married for over 20 years.
Okay. Why do you believe that?
Well, because he has a lot of up and down mood swings. I've done a lot of research on the subject, and I feel that he fits the profile. I have never said that to him personally because I didn't want to put any labels on him, but at the same time, I'm in a constant up and down, dealing with up and down mood swings from him quite a lot. And
okay,
I think
so why would you say,
and then they don't.
Why would you say borderline versus bipolar on mood swings like that?
Well, he just seems like he has the traits more of borderline because everything that I've done research on, I even got a book on it. He just, his personality, I mean, he's not. At first, I thought he was narcissistic, but then I realized, no, I don't think that, because he doesn't seem to be, you know, an evil human being. And he does recognize that he's got a lot of issues, but, and we've been through counseling, separate and together. It's just that.
Okay. So what's the question for us?
The question is, how do I put giving him I had the word in my head and now I can't think of it, so I guess I'm nervous. I guess I need to set some boundaries for him. And I have discussed this with him, and he was in agreement, but then when he's all spun up, it's as if we've never talked about that before, and he just continues to rant and doesn't allow me to say, listen, stop, I need to walk out until you can calm down. And I just need to put some kind of boundaries up, and I just don't know how to do that.
Well, Tara,
it just seems like...
If you're looking for him, of course, when he's calm, he will agree to things. But it's when he's spinning out, like you said, that you need the boundaries in place. So, but if you're looking at that moment for his agreement or permission from him, you're not going to get it, right?
I wanted to be able to diffuse it somehow, and I just don't know how. It seems like no matter what I say, it doesn't make it any better, even if I, you know, keep my mouth shut and don't say anything.
Right. So if that's the case, then those are the times where you may need to just say, you know, I'm leaving until we can talk about this more calmly, and you turn around and you walk out.
He always manages to do this right before we're ready to go to bed, too.
Okay.
It always seems that way. And it also, I don't want to be his mother, and I'm not trying to be his mother, but I've told him numerous times to not drink, because I notice the drinking, I think, amplifies it. And,
okay.
I've even All right, said, so, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but at the same time, you know, need to try and get a hold of this, because it just makes it worse.
Okay, I think we get the situation here, and let's try to give you some help. So, Alice, what might be a couple of things she could do to make the situation better versus worse?
Well, Tara, we can really empathize, because you're right. This is exhausting, trying to manage these different swings in his mood. He sometimes agrees with you, sometimes he doesn't. And I think a couple of things can be very helpful for you, because boundaries, it's a complicated process, setting boundaries. And we might think boundaries are about controlling or stopping someone else's behavior, but it's actually about deciding to limit our own exposure to the things that they do. And you're exactly right. Boundaries can actually exacerbate their anger, especially when we're first trying to put them into place. So boundaries don't always calm things down. They can actually bring up even more anger at first. And it's about protecting yourself. So I would have you set some plans into place as you evaluate when it tends to happen, what he tends to do, and that you would decide, all right, if he tends to ramp up right before bed, how can I protect myself from that behavior and expect that it will happen again? So you may have to decide that you're going to be the one to sleep in another room. If that's when an argument starts, that's when the mood swings really come on, and you may have to plan for that ahead of time. And I would add that if we try to do this by ourselves, if we try to set boundaries and we don't have the support of our friends, of some people that are close to us and really understand what's going on, it is almost impossible to maintain boundaries, especially in the face of the anger of our spouse, if our boundaries are upsetting to them. So I would ask you to take two steps to help you move forward with this. One, we can offer you some resources on boundaries that really help explain what it is and how to do it so you're well equipped. But then you're going to need community to be able to do it in, people who will back you up and support you when it will inevitably be tough to do and to hold to your boundary.
And if your diagnosis of him is correct, this is something you may deal with for all of your relationship. And I'm going to send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. I think it'll help you. It sounds like you've already found a book. But again, there are some strategies that make it worse, but at least you stay sane.
and it leads long term over time
to the benefits.
It makes it better. It's just initially it's
hopefully
worse.
There's pushback at first.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's you got to buckle up and be ready to experience more rejection.
I'm thinking, as part of community, since he also has some drinking issues, I'm thinking that Al-Anon would be a good place, either Al-Anon or a codependency group, because they really work on teaching good boundaries and how to have that healthy detachment so that you don't get triggered when he's spinning out of control. So that might be a place for you to start to learn.
Okay. Hope that's helpful to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or if you want this book on understanding and loving a person with borderline personality disorder. I know that it's not easy. Also want to mention to you that I am preaching this weekend on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 and 11 Eastern Time, northviewchurch.us. You could watch that live. And I think it'll be a great, it's on, of course, Fathers, and it's on the great race that we're all challenged to win and be in as dads. Also, if you want some prep work, overnight making peace with your father, that could be a great book by Dr. Dave Stoop. We'll give it to you as a gift, any amount. And then also Dr. Jill Hubbard's got a book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. That's another great resource. And if you want a Father's Day gift, if they're recovering, the Life Recovery Bible. If not, Every Man's Bible really can be a great addition. And I hear a lot of women say he reads that Bible a lot. All right, let's go to Laura in Charlotte, North Carolina. Listens on Sirius XM. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
How can we help today?
My question is about my daughter and how I can come alongside her and support her. When she was 4 years old, my biological son, her brother, molested her when he was 12. And we did not learn of this until she was 18. He was doing some counseling and had gotten very involved in the Lord and that. And he, before she got married, decided to take her out before he told us also and let her know that this had happened. She had no memory of it until he started triggering things, and then she remembered. She was 18 at the time. He is 8 years older than her. We, obviously, it was a shock. We tried to get counseling for my son. My daughter at 18, they were both out of the house adults, said, you know, I don't really even remember it, and kind of pushed it under the rug. She is now 36 years old, and she is, it's coming back. She says it's affecting every relationship she has. She has a hard time, She was here trying to do a sabbatical with just her and the Lord and having support, which we thought we were supporting. But when my son had called us and she heard us say, okay, son, we love you, goodbye, she just went ballistic. You know, how can you say that to him? How can you even, you know, and when I asked her, what do you expect? What can I do? What is it I can read on? I mean, what is it I can do? She's reading a book she gave me, which is called The Wounded Heart by Dan Allender, which I started reading, but it's really not helping us as parents, which, you know, to understand it. We know, you know, we're not in denial that it happened, never have been. Most of our family members are aware that it happened. So, you know, we've never been in denial, but it's like I explained to her, it's 18 years behind us. We've gone through this all the way through this, and, you know, we didn't realize you were in this position.
But,
so I am looking for some guidance on how to help her go through it, or some reading material, something.
All right. We're going to help you with that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn, you're really glad that you're with us here today on New Life. If you want to join us, you know, we do the program Monday through Friday. We're usually in the studio live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern, even though you might hear the program differently sometime at a different time. Sometime it is broadcast tape delayed. But we've got a call center, and they're there for you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can order any kind of resource. You can order the starter kit for a life recovery group. There are books. There are resources. And you can find out how to support us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, right now, we're talking with Laura. Laura, you said that you said to your daughter that, you know, you guys have been aware of this and dealing with it quite some time. You remember saying that?
Yes.
So she has not dealt with it and been aware of it as long as you, right?
We both were made aware of it at the same time. Like I said, when she was 18, she has dealt with it.
But she kind of shoved it under and then it resurfaced.
But it sounds like she didn't really deal with it. She just heard about it.
Yes.
Right.
She feels that we stuffed it too.
Okay. Mm. And so the goal here, when something like this has happened, is for you, her parent, to connect with her through the ups and downs of shame, blame, all the different things that she might go through. And it would be better to say things like, I realize that you're dealing with this in certain ways, maybe like for the first time, or you're going to the full depths of this for the first time, rather than say, hey, we've known about this, or we've dealt with this for all these years. That can be a real dismissive kind of position. You know, there's nothing new here for us kind of thing.
Right.
And I did not say that. What I did say to her is, you know, this was something that in our life happened a ways back. We had dealt with that. How can I help you? How can I help you do this? And so she told me there's all these hurtful triggers, you know, mm-hmm. when he called, and she gives me reasons. And so I asked her, how should I handle that? What do you expect to see me? How I relate to my son? I don't relate to him in any closeness as I do you. So show me what you think I should be doing. And she says, you're in denial. You're just in denial. You know, and it's almost like it just happened to her. In other words, how could you not be mad about this? How could you not, you know, you need to get him help, which we've offered forever. You know, he's 40-something now. So it's, you know, you can beg, plead, offer to pay for it.
But Laura, didn't you say that that's how he came to tell her, is that he was getting help?
He, at the time, was going through, when he was in his 20s, a counseling at a church. The counselor was not equipped to deal with this, and I've had someone that knew him well, that she is a licensed psychologist, and said there is no way he should have even dealt with this. Kind of steered him wrong. But because of the experience with him, now in later years, it's like, I'm just going to let Jesus heal me. You know, we've told him, you know, he uses people to heal you. We've tried to get him to the psychologist that both he and I both know very well. She runs a life center much like yours in the state he's in.
Okay.
And so, he won't.
Well, let me just, while you're on, see what Jill and Alice think is the best thing for you to do to help your daughter heal, but also for you to have the best possible relationship that you can have with her. What do you think, guys?
Well, Laura, I have some real specific steps I want you to try with your daughter, because you have a very humble, open heart to continue to ask her, what is it that you want me to do? And I would imagine she might not know right now. This has got to be such a confusing time for all of you, and you must feel torn between your son and your daughter. And it's kind of strange how we don't always feel the emotions about a hurt, sometimes until years later. Sometimes it can even be that maybe we have a child, and the age of our child is similar to when we went through an abuse, and it can reveal pain we didn't even know was there. So you're in a tricky position, but your heart is in the right place. So I want to ask you to take James 1:19, when we're told to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And there's some real specific ways you can listen to your daughter to hear her heart and her hurts that are coming up now. Now, some of these steps come from the Comfort Circle in Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love. So I'd have you go back to that situation where she overheard you say to your son that you love him. And I want you to bring it up to her at a time that she might be open to talking to you, to say, remember when I said I love you to your brother, and I know that really affected you. Would you tell me how you felt about that? And then I want you to just listen and try to put yourself in her shoes, which I imagine you're good at doing, to understand where she's coming from. And after that, to go back to your question of, now what do you need from me? But I think she may need to be heard right now.
And just understood.
Exactly.
Right? It's understood. Not about you, and it's not about what you've done or that you've done it wrong. It's about just hearing her right where she's at.
Would you try heard, that, Laura?
Understood and validated for her feelings. Then you get to go through this with her and be there for her. And when you come out on the other side, you're more connected, deeper, richer, and she's healed.
Right. And she couldn't tolerate this before. She can tolerate a little bit now, and that's why she's venturing in. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so delayed.
Okay. So, since you take your life back, it's going to help you guide a little bit here. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. Let's talk about Club New Life for a minute. We need six people to sign up today. And I'm hoping Larry can tell us all about that.
He can.
I will do my best.
Okay.
You are really well aware, I think, if you have joined Club New Life or if you've heard us talk, that we have a great thank you gift. Thank you gift is the Arterburn Wellness Series, all eight books in that. And it's a fabulous series. I mean, it seems like mm-hmm. every other caller calls about something, and that book is just
it
right for them.
It meets a need, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it really does. So that's one thing. The other thing about Club New Life is our video library. And that's for Club New Life members only. If you're in Club New Life, you're given every single month $30 or more, and it is making a difference. It allows life change. But we're putting up this week, we put some videos up every week. We've got over 100 videos up, and this week we're putting up five videos that Dave Stoop did. Two are on the history of the 12 steps, and then the first three of one video each on each of the steps. We're doing steps 1, 2, and 3. And the next 2 weeks, we'll finish up the 12 steps. And it's really valuable. If you're not familiar with the 12 steps, if you want to learn more about them, if you want to get insight from Dave, who's been around those forever, it's fantastic. And then, Steve, two quick other things. I want to talk to people. We still need individual gifts. It's not like Club New Life is the only way we want you to give. We need one-time gifts. We need gifts of support. But I want to talk to people who have never given. I know that there are hundreds of you listening right now, and I know you've been listening for a while, might be a week, might be months, it might be 10 years, and you've never given to New Life. And I want just to appeal to your conscience to not depend upon everybody else to support this ministry, but if you would step in and support it as well. It will make all the difference, and it's that first step is hard, But make a gift to New Life. We're not going to hurt you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and Larry, I think it makes a difference in people's lives to go from being a passive listener to an active listener.
Yeah, it really does. And real quickly, a letter came in, Steve, from a woman. She writes a check every month to us. And she said, when I write this check each month, so many memories of my life come flooding in of all the ways New Life has been beside me to help make it so for me and my family. And I'm thinking, that's why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need you to support us. So please, if you can, we'd appreciate it.
Well, it's a ministry in and of itself. We do a lot of things with our counselors, our workshops, but this radio program, it's the heart of what we do. Please support us, help us. We need it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number that you can call. And I appreciate that, Larry. Thank you very much. Come be part of the New Life Giving family. Now let's go to Marie. Anaheim, California, listens on KKLA. Hi, Marie. How are you?
I'm not good. How are you?
Doing okay. But sounds like you need some help, and that's what we're here for. What's going on?
I have a 20-year-old daughter who has just moved out 6 months ago. And she's been dating this 37-year-old man for 10 months. And they work together. And she just told me recently that she spends 90% of her time at his apartment and not in the room that she rents. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just getting really concerned about how he's monopolizing her time. And I don't know how to handle the situation because Dr. Stu told me this is like a kidnap situation because of the age range. And I've been trying to, you know, have a positive relationship with this man when I have to see him. But and I tried to push her in her dad's direction, and he's drinking with her when he goes to restaurants with her. And I'm just, I don't know what to do. I'm just, I'm really concerned about not being pushed out of her life because, you know, if this man picks up that I don't like him, like, I don't know what to do.
Okay. So are you saying, did you say her father goes to restaurants
drinking
and
with her?
Drinks with her?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you can't really depend on him for helping you with the project here, right?
No.
Does he have any concerns about it? Like, have you talked to him?
I haven't talked to him because the last time I talked to him about a major problem, he told my daughter and he just laughed me off. And
So
he's
an
alcoholic.
Yeah.
He smokes pot, and so I really can't deal with him.
Okay, so here is one thing that might help you with her. I don't know. It's a long shot. But rather than talk about the age difference, you talk about the stages of life difference. And at some point, I would hope you could even talk to him about that. You know, she's 20. He's 37. She's in a totally different place. Is she thinking about college? Did she go to college? What? Where is she and all that?
She dropped out of college.
Okay.
He wants her to, he's an alcoholic and he is pushing alcohol on her and she's not thinking clearly. He wants her to become a bartender so they can go to an island together and bartend and make money. Like, I mean, she's not thinking clearly. This man has a lot of control in her life, and I just don't, I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like that's going to help. And does she have any desire, ever say anything about wanting to get back in college? I suspect not, huh?
No. She's just like, if I'm 25 and I'm still, and maybe then, but right now, this man just has a lot of influence.
Okay. I got it. All right. So the key here is going to be trying to continue to stay connected with her so that you have any kind of voice when maybe she's starting to rethink things for the first time. Yeah, go ahead, Jill.
Sometimes you have to wait for those openings. And as, you know, your daughter goes through, you know, different
times experiences, you know, are there times that you notice where she comes to you more than at other times? You know, will she share things with you when things aren't going her way? You know, often kids do that. When they're sad or things are going wrong, they come to their moms. The rest of the time, you know, they are kind of off on their own. And it's waiting for those key opportune times. And in the meantime, continuing to pursue her and invite her into relationship and being available to her. And then knowing when you can say a little bit more.
Alice, any thoughts here?
Well, it's so tough when we feel helpless
yes.
in a situation. And when our kids are at this age, boy, does that hit us hard. So, Marie, I would also suggest that you gather together a prayer team. And these are people that you trust that you can let in a little bit about the situation. I'd be worried how isolated you might feel with your fears, because the more you're stuck in your head with your fears, the harder it is going to be to keep back from her or to keep back from the man that she's dating if you're around them at all. So being able to bring those fears to people that are friends of yours, family of yours, that would be a support to you and that would actively pray for her and pray for this situation, that will keep you doing something and feeling a little bit more power in the situation.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a prayer group and I talked to my pastor about it, and it's just that they're just telling me that, you know, you just have to just pray and then just try to hope that and pray for him. I've been doing that.
Good. You're on the right track with all of that,
right,
Marie.
Right. And sometimes, though, you know, I think, too, sometimes we do have to say things as moms and take the risk of them being upset with us. But kids do listen, even if they push you away. So at times, you know, I think it's just listening and taking advantage of the right times to say something, Marie. And I like what Steve was saying about, you know, just dropping kind of seeds about, you know, about the different stages of life. You know, I wonder what it's going to be like in, you know, in several years as he gets older or, you know, if he's, you know, been married before, had kids, you know, what are the differences in their stages of life and being able to highlight some of those and just dropping those little seeds for her to think about. And even with him, and I would let her know that you like him. So this isn't about not liking him. It's just about wondering, and has she thought about different things?
Yeah,
I think
anything like a judgment against him personally
yeah.
versus an assessment
or
of
just
where
a curiosity.
He is, what he's doing.
Yeah,
yeah, that's okay. Well, wow. What's a good book? I'm having a hard time thinking of a great book to give to you or your daughter. I mean, I'll send you Take Your Life Back. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd read it, pass it on to her. There might be something there that she would say would be helpful to her. We've got a great Take Your Life Back event coming up. It's called Every Man's Battle. That's July the 6th. July 20th is our Intimacy Intensive in D.C., and that's a life changer for you if you're in a relationship where the intimacy has died, where it's not there anymore. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about it. Right now, we're going to take a break and come back for more of New Life Live.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of you know, what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton, and your phone calls. And let's go right back to those calls. And how about we talk with James, Phoenix, Arizona, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, James. How you doing? James, you're on. I think you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
Well, first of all, this is extremely embarrassing, and but I know in order to get this monkey off my back, I've just got to just be straight and direct and just call it what it is. You know, it's about being inauthentic and living a lie. I was hurt in a very serious accident, and I have steel rods and plates in my left arm, my right leg, my left leg, my sacrum was crushed, my coccyx was broken off, I broke eight ribs, or seven ribs, so I was severely hurt, I couldn't move out of bed, my peroneal nerve was severed in the right leg, so I have an AFO brace, I have very limited mobility, I use an electric wheelchair to get around, so it kind of completely changed my life.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us how we can help you. Tell us how we can help you.
Well, I am having a problem because I built this altar life and, you know, stated achievements that I really haven't had and other things because I feel so, I guess, worthless in a sense. And I want to have an authentic life with the people and the friends and the people I love and my wife who I've used pretty much all my savings to put her through med school. She's going to be graduating this coming December. And, you know, and it's just one of those things that I don't know how to get out of it. The monkey's on my back. And, of course, any new relationships that are formed, I have to perpetuate or continue the same story, the same everything, because everything has to match, and I just don't know how to do it. I mean, I never had a problem really with lying growing up or anything, but now it's a major issue, and I feel like, you know, God just wrote me off. I pray, I try to...
Okay, let us give you some help here, because we don't have a lot of time. I want to give you a little bit of help, but, you know, the first thing that you have to do, I think, is to consider going to people and telling them that you haven't been truthful with them. That's kind of the, and you may not be able to jump to that, and you may need some help getting to that, but that's where you wipe the slate clean, where you say, you know, I just hope you'll forgive me for not being totally honest about everything in my relationship with you. And then you make a commitment that every time one of those little lies pops up, that you catch yourself and you say, oh, I just did it again. And that starts to change the pattern of the way you deal with people. Alice, you have a thought about this? How do you go from totally redoing in people's minds where you've been and what you've done?
Steve, I'm thinking about how exhausting this must be for you, James, and how terrifying to start turning things around. So we are really proud of you that you're taking that right step here with us. And I'm just going to add to what Steve said, because I think he's right on, that you need to pick the safest person in your life to tell them some of what you have told here to us. And as you continue to do that, James, you will break down the lies and you'll find so much freedom in the truth. And I think a part of this new version of you will also be accepting and exploring the purpose God has for you just as you are. And I actually think he's got a mission right here before you. And that mission is the courage to get honest. What an example you will be of humility and courage for the people around you, James, as you're willing to step into this first with the safest person and then to move it on from there. Oh, God has purpose for you just as you are with all your wounds, emotional and physical, James.
Yeah, you know, Jill, you have an insight. Before you do, I would just say this. A lot of people never, ever think about undoing the lies. Yeah. It just never comes to mind, but you have. Any thoughts, Jill?
Well, I would just say, in addition to all of that, is to meditate on Proverbs. It's always a good place to look at, you know, the impact of lying in our lives. And then, you know, ask the Lord to give you the courage to step out and then see what he does with it. Because I agree, he's going to use it. And it's going to be really hard at first, but it will get easier. And I think you will breathe new vitality into your life.
Yeah, and I think for the rest of us, this is a great challenge to all of us to take a look at the truth that's in our lives. And another thing to look at is how do we prevent the truth from coming into our lives? You know, how do we block that truth? How do we block other people out and keep them at a distance? This is a great challenge, a great day to think about that. And you know, I'll send you also Take Your Life Back. That will help you go from being this false self to living in the true self. It's really the foundation of the book there. Anybody else, you can get it. I think that the Proverbs really are a great place to start in trying to get your brain wrapped around other things. One of my favorite verses for a new life is Jeremiah 6:16, where Jeremiah says to stop at the crossroads and consider which way, which direction to take. And he says to search for that old godly path. And I think that old godly path is one that can be found right there in Scripture. And one is that we admit our sins to each other, as it says in James 5:16. We confess them to each other, and we pray for each other. And I think that that confession isn't just, it's not just cleansing. It's not just a way of getting it off your chest. I think it's a bold move into that new life, because any kind of program where transformation is possible, it all starts with honesty. And the first person to be honest with is yourself, and that's probably the most difficult person to be honest with. But that's where it all begins. Now, we help men all the time with the honesty of their lives when it comes to sexual integrity and sexual purity. And the next time we're going to do that is Every Man's Battle. That's July the 6th in Washington, D.C. Then we come together again as New Life and as in an intensive way with our counselors July the 20th, and that's our marriage intensive. That's going to be a powerful, powerful time where we help you see yourself in relationship, not just what's so easy to see, and that's the mistakes of the other person. That's July 20th. But whatever you're dealing with, fear, anxiety, dread, guilt, shame, all of that, you know, is available to be dealt with a counselor, a Christian counselor who's been trained. You just call and we'll try to find one of our great network counselors to help you in any way possible. We've talked about Club New Life. It is a great way to support this ministry at $30 a month. We need 6 people a day to do that, to stay on track, to totally change our future. That sustaining gift of $30 a month. We send you a $140 library of 8 books, pretty exciting, and that, you know, that's the Arterburn Wellness Series. books like Understanding and Loving a Person with Sexual Addiction, another one on drug and alcohol, and another one on bipolar, depression, and borderline personality disorder, all sort, post-traumatic stress disorder. So many things are addressed there, including attention deficit disorder. And that's our way of saying thank you, along with the video library. But call us and support us or get help from us. It's the same number, 1-800-NEWLIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. We love you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.